And a very good morning to you. It's Oliver Callan here in for Ryan all this week. It is Tuesday, the 26th of October. Although people will be calling it Monday all along because that's the kind of vibe we're in now. It is autumn, but not as we know it. As you heard in the news there, it's windy with the odd skite of rain here and there, which you'd expect, but the unnatural cloying temperatures, mild temperatures that you wouldn't and shouldn't be getting at this time of the year. But anyway, there are window boxes from summer still in bloom. We need that bit of frost and we just clear the leaves fully to green, from green to yellow and get rid of them. Anyway, I hope you're having a lovely time out there. It is midterm break for the schools. That's in full swing. Halloween is very much in the air. The clocks are going back next weekend, which is unusually late. It wouldn't be usually the weekend we just had, but because of the way Halloween is and the way the October weekends are falling this time, it is next Saturday night into Sunday. We lose an hour, don't we? Spring forward, fall back. Isn't that what they say? So autumn's back. Okay, so we lose an hour at the weekend, but it's all good. The good news is there is cauld cannon to be made and eaten, the fires to be lit when it gets nice and cold, hopefully, and ghost stories to be told. And it is crack as usual here. The text is 51551 and the email ryan@rte.ie. Yes, and scare attractions are actually back up and running, aren't they, this year? So if you've been to those, do let us know how you're getting on. They're the things where you run. There's one in Meath, a farm phobia, where you you scare the bejeepers out of yourself by running through cornfields. And it's just one of those things, stressful experiences you put yourself through for fun. That's the way it goes. But because Halloween hasn't just quite happened yet, Christmas-themed products are in the air and we've a thing on Quality Streets. I've lost it because I really don't know what I'm doing half the time when I'm in here. I'll start with Bank Holidays. Vicky Notaro Carlisle, who's editor-in-chief, Stellar Magazine and so on. This is the vibe for all of us today. The Bank Holidays always make me feel strangely unsettled, she tweets. Like prolonging the inevitable or something, an extended case of the Glenrose. Trying not to be neggy, just saying it in case someone else feels the same. Yes, we are. And neggy, that's a new term for me, but enjoy your extended case of the Glenrose as you're kind of feeling. When does the week, is the week started? Are we doing it? Because we will call it Monday all day today. And then by tomorrow we'll be going, sure, I don't know what day of the week it is at all. And then the weekend will be arriving and you'll be wrecked because you had a long weekend. And on and on and on it goes. Now, the thing is still here because Halloween is all year round now, thanks to COVID. But this is a cheery one. Jill O'Herlihy said she needed a COVID test the other day, so she went off into the centre. A few questions are asked, and they get to the question, which is this your first COVID test? Now, I've had many, many COVID tests working in telly and the media and so on. So you kind of almost think they can't be serious. Surely nobody has not had a COVID test at this stage. So Jill says, yes, actually, yes, this is my first COVID test. And so the person says, hey, Anne, this one here, it's her first COVID test. And so they both run over and they start singing it. Jill O'Herlihy, like a virgin, swabbed for the very first time, I presume is the line they used. So that's the way they are doing it. And that makes us all very cheerful. What doesn't make us cheerful is the constant theme of everything running out and everything getting really, really expensive. Paper shortage, apparently. Vertebrate Publishing tells us now looks Europe has essentially run out of paper to print books on. Spent yesterday speaking to our factories and the story is the same throughout the continent. There is no paper now until the new year for new books. So that is a thing that's causing a bit of panic there, along with the shortages of gas, isn't it? That's causing electricity prices to go up. And I was reading on the New York Times over the weekend, they're expecting their most expensive Thanksgiving, which is, I think, the end of November, because all of the ingredients have gone up, especially meat. Meat has gone up 10% in the US. So this is a worldwide phenomenon as you're looking at the petrol pumps hitting €1.70 plus for petrol a litre. You're thinking, what? Where does it end? And how will anyone actually afford any of this stuff? Jane Casey, who's an Irish author behind the Maeve Kerrigan novel, she says, please do your Christmas shopping in proper bookshops where the booksellers will find you a book just as good as the one you wanted to buy for Auntie Mary. No paper equals no books. So go to the proper bookshops. They have the things in stock. Get the books and support the local is the theme there. And you sometimes think the rush out and buy stuff for Christmas is one of those sales pitches. Oh, it'll all be run out. But it feels real this year. It feels real. Brexit apparently is sparking a Christmas cracker war to add to the sausage wars that we already have. It's being blamed for a threat to the Christmas dinner staple, the cracker. A vast majority of our crackers here all come from Britain, but they have an explosive inside, technically to provide the bang, and so they ought to be labelled with the importer's name and postal address, a requirement which would create a greater expense for the manufacturers and likely lead to a decline in deliveries for Ireland, is because Britain is now a third country as far as Ireland and the EU is concerned. Well, that's what they decided. So an EU directive on the sale of pyrotechnics means it's going to be tricky to get the British crackers into the Irish place. There's no one making crackers in Ireland. There's a bit of a gap in the market there by the sounds of it. Anyway, that's the Irish Daily Mail this morning. 51551. Ah, yes, you gain an hour next weekend. Okay, so just like the bank holiday where you think it's Monday all day today on a Tuesday, I can never remember whether you gain, of course, so the clock goes back, so that's an extra hour. So you go to bed, you're in bed asleep at 2 a.m. and the clock magically goes back to 1. So you can go to bed late. Yeah, okay, so it works out. The leaves are quite amazing. It's like being in New England for the fall, says that texter. I always think when you see American Halloween, in my head are going, oh, look, it's just like Ireland. But that's a different perspective. You know, there are deciduous trees in America and they call it the fall. And Halloween is a lovely gift that we give into the Americans. And for some reason, we've re-imported their version of it back here, which is why we have the pumpkins rather than the turnips. Have you ever, apparently that we did carve out turnips and that's where the pumpkin thing, because I've discovered this is an easier thing to carve out. If you've ever tried to carve out a turnip, we did as kids, and I don't want to sound like the Beilbocht, but we did carve out a turnip with penknives. Very, very tricky, but a very nice light out of it. Haven't done it since then. Half-minded if I've time to carve out a turnip. But you kind of think they were bigger when you were smaller, but that's because you were smaller. But it's a nice idea. I'm actually seriously considering now carving out a turnip, because obviously the pumpkin is a softer flesh, so you can spoon it all out and it's all great. Anyway, they're the Halloween traditions. There's a really good Halloween experience actually in Oma, in the Ulster American Folk Park. We're talking about the outdoors, not a scare attraction, more to do with the folklore, but it's very atmospheric and a very nice time. Do you know what's not atmospheric and you can't have a nice time apparently? The new Marvel's film, Eternals, which is the big midterm break release here. And the reviews are scathing. Apparently it's being labelled one of Marvel's worst movies so far. And that is saying something, even as a kind of a semi-Marvel fan. Love Iron Man, love the first Captain America and a couple of other bits along the way, which I can't remember because it's all one big cartoon in my head, one big CGI mess in the sky with people flying around. Well, Marvel's Eternals, which is, what is it about? You don't need to know. Powerful aliens spend 7,000 years on Earth keeping the masses safe from the deviants. Oh, because you have to learn new enemies. Deviants versus Eternals. It's a mess, apparently. It's also 2 hours, 37 minutes long, and Infinity Bore is what this reviewer is calling it. And that makes us feel sad because our own Barry Keoghan is in it. That amazing. He's always going to be known to us, though, as the young fella who shot the cat in Love Hate, isn't he, Barry Keoghan? But he is... He is brilliant in many, many films. He was in Dunkirk as well, wasn't he? And there was one with is Nicole Kidman and Colin Farrell, the deer. What's that one? Now that I say it, now I can never think of it. Very good actor. But Marvel's Eternals is not going to win Oscars for anybody, but they'll still go and see it because it's one of those huge films that you have to go see, like James Bond and all of that. Ed Sheeran has revealed that he has tested positive for COVID-19, so he's double vaccinated and all that. So it's an illness, a benign illness for him, but he has to self isolate so as not to spread Delta or Delta Plus, which is what they're calling the new thing. So he just says he won't be doing public appearances for a bit, but he will be, of course, in action in all the shows that are now sold out across Ireland. No, there's extra dates I'm looking here. Ed Sheeran on tour next year. Yeah, he sold out the Croke Park thing in April, but he's doing the 24th of April as well. And he's also doing Parky Cueve, the Boucher Road playing fields in Belfast and Thomond Park in Limerick. Very good gigs, actually, in Belfast. Anytime I've gone to shows up there, it's like they're not as rammed and they're not as expensive, and it's kind of close enough for those of us along the border anyway. And it's just a bit cheaper, the Boucher playing fields. I've gone to see the Chili Peppers and the Killers and people like that. Now, if you're a Man United fan, you're not having a good time because, well, they had a lovely time last week when they came back in Europe, but... you don't lose 5-0 in Old Trafford and you don't do it to Liverpool. So they're going through a massive crisis, and there's images of Fergie rolling his eyes, all but face-palming. If he was born in a different era, he'd be face-palming. But instead, it's just Fergie face. But Cristiano Ronaldo his Bentley from the glory days, his glory days in Man United around 2008 or 2009, he bought a Bentley Continental GT and it's up for auction. So if you're a Man United fan pining for nostalgia, why not buy yourself a Fetching Ronaldo Bentley? It's on sale, 50 grand in sterling at auction. You wonder, did he spend even an hour in it though? Because they have so many cars, these lads. So much opulence and spending, you would know. Now, if you don't have a Bentley knocking around, then you might have other things in the house that could be worth a small fortune and you've been looking at and thinking of throwing out, because we're going to be talking about Home Rescue later, the big fix, and there's a lot of clutter in that show that they have to declutter, and sometimes there's stuff and you're wondering, no, that'll come in useful, but maybe something's actually valuable. With the Irish Mirror has a full list of things could be lying around the house worth a fortune. Retro video games are a big, big thing. So the stuff they don't even use in the things that don't work anymore, like the old Nintendos and Sega Mega Drives and all that. And games like Super Mario RPG, Harvest Moon, Chrono Trigger, all games, they could fetch up to €500 each. If you can find them intact, sell them online. Vintage comics that are now movies, superhero movies, exploded. There were ones that sort of were cultish comic books that weren't made into films, but Black Panther obviously is a phenomenon. And a comic book from the Black Panther from the 70s could earn up to £800, depending on your vintage condition. Vintage advertising signs, Pokemon cards, Polly Pocket, that was a 90s thing. If you have the Peter Pan Polly Pocket, it's worth up to €300. China sets as well, and Star Wars things. Now, this is one that caught my attention. Vintage lunchboxes are something that people don't really hold on to. But if you have an old lunchbox hanging around the house, you could be in luck. Cartoon characters, superheroes, and rock groups on the side of a tin box. Ah, so it's a tin lunchbox. The Beatles, that could be worth £300. The Bonanza lunchbox? Do they mean the Bonanza as the show? The ancient, creaky show that we were watching in the 80s because they kept just feeding us stuff in the 70s, basically, didn't they? Pretty sure The Jetsons was a 60s cartoon and The Flintstones. And there we were, happy as Larry, watching it in the 80s because it was nothing new. Everything was beige, children. Everything was beige and grim. It was like the Skelligs. Everything was like the Skelligs. Every town was miserable. David Bowie's Diamond Dogs vinyl, if you have that, 1974 album, it's worth a hell of a lot of money. £3,000 it can be worth. And on the subject of David Bowie, a year-long 75th birthday bash includes New York, London pop-ups. So they're going to celebrate David Bowie's 75th birthday next year. I'm always a bit dubious when someone who's dead and they're going, it would have been their birthday, this birthday. And you go, well, you know, maybe you're also marking the anniversary of their death. And now you're marking that, like, if it's a 200 years since someone was born, you're going, look at the amazing legacy, 200 years after their birth. Maybe. Anyway, if you're a Bowie fan, you won't care. It's going to be a year-long celebration to honour his 75th birthday. Pop-up shops in New York and across in London. Retail experiences. That sounds like a lot of merch, doesn't it, to be sold? But you'll be hearing about it. And his anniversary is in January. Remember that grim January in 2016 when all the celebrities started dying? And it was Prince before you know it, and George Michael at the end of the year. I think Alan Rickman around the time of David Bowie. 2016. We thought that was grim, but things very different. I'm looking at the papers. In a lot of the papers today, there's a picture of Steve Coogan, he of Alan Partridge fame and other things. And he's dressed in the role of his next film role. So you associate Steve Coogan with fun and comedy. He was really good in Stan and Laurel, the Laurel and Hardy, Stan and Ollie, sorry, the Laurel and Hardy film. And his next choice of character to play is Jimmy Savile. And immediately when you say that name, it conjures up very, very dark history in the BBC and how this pest, malignant pest, festered for so long in plain sight. Anyway, Steve Coogan's playing Jimmy Savile in a new film called The Reckoning. Well, it's a TV series for the BBC. And he says the drama gives voice to Savile's victims. So there's a picture of him as Jimmy Savile, and it's kind of weirdly comical and also terrifying. And there's definitely a Halloween vibe because he's in a big sort of, you know, tough fabric 70s thing. And there's a menace to the look. He's a really good actor, but can a comic actor pull off something that's obviously going to be serious and is trying to shine a light on the victims? We'll see. I'm a big believer in Steve Coogan. Really good biography, by the way, memoirs he wrote a couple of years ago. And he's a class act. And he's Bank Holiday is the theme on the text, 51551. The bank holiday is the last Monday of the month. The clocks change to the last Saturday of the month, says Willie in Shankill. Yes, OK. Thanks for putting that correct. Did I really sound all at sea at the beginning to that extent that I need to be corrected? Carved out turnips for sale. Now, there's a commercial opening for some enterprising person out there. Bob. Ah, Bob, you had my hopes up for a moment. I thought you were about to tell me that someone had carved out pumpkins or turnips on sale. Although we could start a whole debate on as to whether they're called turnips or Swedes, and there's another name as well. And the Americans call them, I think they call them mostly Swedes, don't they? And we say turnip. I think the turnip is smaller, and then there are Swedes. Just like pumpkins, there are ones that are various types of squash. And I must say thank you to Lipton's and Clonus, because when I was standing in March and I was yattering on about pumpkins, they sent me seeds and I sowed them and I planted them and they grew all over the place, about 20 foot length pumpkins. And I ended up with 6 pumpkins from a couple of plants. Very proud of myself. I must Instagram them later on at the Oliver Callan, I think is my Instagram feed. I've only recently started posting again this year because I'm promoting the telly, which I won't mention until tomorrow, although I've technically mentioned it now. But anyway, I'll talk about it tomorrow. It's about home rescue this morning. Anyway, I was going to keep that Joanna Lumley thing until later. She thinks we should all be rationing to save the planet. But there's good news on the horizon, because if you were out from nightclubs and nightlife, hospitality is kind of on its way back. It's beginning to feel a little bit like normal, isn't it? Well, New Year's Eve, we are counting down to New Year's Eve festival. Why? Well, because the important thing is that these sell out every year we've had them, that is, and we haven't had one for a very, very long time. So headlining this year's New Year's Eve festival in Dublin is Picture This with Lyra and Ryan Sheridan, who's a Monaghan man, so very important to mention. That's at Dublin Castle. The tickets are going on sale this Friday, the 29th of October at 9 o'clock in the morning. They start at £37.90, including booking fee. It is strictly over 18s. It is a controlled event, which is why the tickets are there, although don't mention the tickets. And this is the 10th year of the New Year's Festival in Dublin. 6 spectacular events set to take place over 2 days in the heart of the city, and on the 1st of January, the 1st of January, that's right. And so Picture This, obviously they've had a great year. Their album is set to be released. They've been touring. They are going to tour the UK and Ireland, and they are going to perform. They performed on the Late Late Show. Not that one, the James Corden one back in March. Not the good one. Can we say that? The James Corden one. And yeah, so they're out, and that's good news. That was something I thought would never work, the New Year's Festival, and particularly because there was a few chaotic years, and they decided, no, we're going to organise it and ticketed it. And it's been a really good night, by all accounts, regardless of what the weather is. So I think that's where we'll start this morning. 51551 is the text number. Ryan@rte.ie is how to get in touch by the email. This is Picture This. Good morning. That's Troublemaker by Picture This, and shouted over a bit at the end there, the wait bit. But anyway, I'll never make a proper DJ, but sure, I'll try my best. I remember cutting turnips with Halloween, triangles for the eyes, smaller one for the nose, a big slash for the mouth, with 2 big gnashes for teeth, and then the guts for dinner, says Valerie in Ballantyre. Okay, so I'm not gone mad, and I wasn't the only one. And it's really hard going, actually, to cut out a turnip, because you kind of gouge out little bits with a penknife. And this one I never heard of. Back in the day, the late 60s, 70s, we used to carve out sugar beet. It was hard going with a small knife, but you were able to pick them up off the side of the road for free. Kept you busy all afternoon. And that was probably the reason behind the choice of sugar beet, says Sue in West Cork. I thought you were going to say Carlo there, because I just immediately hear sugar beet and think Carlo Fields with all the sugar they did. Bob is wondering, has he caused a shortage of turnips by his text? Because we'll all go out to carve them up, and they're cheap enough as well that you can kind of do a trial and error. But anyway, Oliver, this Lipton's you speak of is a legend. Yes, we in Cavan plan pilgrimages there all the time. All kinds of everything under one roof, says Maureen. I'm telling you, Lipton's, it's a legendary place up in the Wild West of Monaghan there. So the Cavan people being, and we did consider it a pilgrimage, you see, because Cavan people are still bitter about crossing over the border. That's the only border that matters in those people's heads. But anyway, let's not go too tribal. We're going to be talking about home rescue and all that entails after the break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, welcome back. You're busy on the text 51551. We're back to turnips. If you microwave your turnip for 2 to 3 minutes before carving it, it makes it much easier. That's a really good tip. Although I'm always terrified of microwaving a kind of a whole food, you know, because we've all seen what happens with tomatoes. Where did I say that? Was a film, Roddy Doyle thing, wasn't it? Where there's an exploding tomato, or am I imagining that? Someone tells me I'm very posh. You're very posh, Oliver. In Cork, we call them swades. It's spelled S-W-A-Y and space E-D-S. That sounds to me like a Dublin version of Swedes. Swades, but I think Swades, in Cork accent, phonetically pronounced. In your best country accent now, says Swades, says Julie in Cork. Won't get to the bottom of that, Julie, I'm sorry. Turnips in the US are rutabagas, I think is that's how you pronounce it. Yes, I knew there was a fancy word that the Americans have. That's Happy Halloween from American K in Foxford. I always imagine if you're an American was moving to Ireland, they would go to Foxford because we've marketed it very well with the woolly blankets and everything. In the Savile movie, quick change of theme here, who will play Johnny Lydon, a.k.a. Johnny Rotten? He was the first person to out him on live television, but paid a heavy price for his good deed. Says Bob again, who was on to us earlier about the turnips, and he's selling out the turnips. Thanks for that, Bob. I don't know. I must look it up. It's the TV series, BBC TV, and they usually do a good job. And obviously, everyone's very conscious of making sure the victims are honoured and so on. And we're back, of course, to Home Rescue. Roisin is lovely, but Peter has great patience. His nails must be at the bone, says Thomas in Navan, with a very loaded text, Navan. We know your attitudes. They work very well as a team. I didn't think there was going to be a bit of roolia-boolia between them. Actually, I just briefly mentioned Joanna Lumley earlier because she's talking about this is in relation to climate change and the COP26 conference, which is about to start on Halloween up in Scotland. And she's proposing a system of rationing like World War II in Britain. She's saying, and this has been discussed by scientists who are saying we should all be given carbon credits and you get to use them for various things like holidays and so on. It sounds mad on the face of it. Wartime style rationing to solve the climate crisis. But as you dig down to it, if you've time there, it's in The Guardian today. Joanna Lumley's proposals sound kind of like a thing that might happen, but then you're almost thinking, well, rich people will end up with more credits, won't they? And we'll just end up in Mad Max, where more people have more water and more stuff than anyone else. And can we solve this whole thing? COP26, that's what you're trying to sort out with all the superpowers next Halloween, this Halloween coming, not to be confused with Eternals, which is the boring thing that's not going to do anything. We have to take another ad break before we let you go, so we'll cut to that. And that's all we've time for today. Carve your turnips responsibly, safety first and all that. Claire Byrne is next. I'm back tomorrow. Goodbye.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.